It is a Friday. It is a Friday, baby. And you know exactly what that means. It means it is time for Sports Live with BBK. Thank God it is a Friday. The Sunday Times last week, Sunday, gave you a story that told you that the delay in the appointment of the announcement of Kevin Hunt as the new coach of Kaizer Chiefs was down to finalizing the details. And as it happened, on Thursday, those details were finalized. So the T's were crossed. The I's were dotted. Kevin Hunt was officially announced as the new coach of Kaizer Chiefs. But that's not what we're talking about today here on the show. Right now, we are going to be delving deeper into a book that's just come out, and it is authored by Walter Steenbock. And Walter Steenbock, for those who may not know, for the uninitiated, is the head of scouting at Kaizer Chiefs. And this is a job that he took over in November 2018. He is a man of a wealth of knowledge in football. He is a man who's headed up the senior academy at Mamelodi Sundowns. And he is a man who's worked as the head of scouting at Mamelodi Sundowns. And he is the man that brought the Yellow Nation people, Gaston Serino, among others. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it.
Hello, my name is Tom Pokekana, Mamelodi Sundowns captain. You're listening to Sport Live with BBK, my brother from another mother, the dark one.
Hello and welcome to Sports Live with BBK, myself, Baringba Tukorcha, sports editor of the Sunday Times and columnist. And today we have a fantastic, fantastic show in store for you, and I will tell you why. It is because right across the desk, for the very first time since I've started doing this, I actually have a guest who's here physically, in person. Everybody else has been far away doing things on Skype, doing things on Zoom and all of that. But right now, we're sitting together right here in our studios here in Parktown at 16 Hillon Empire. And it is a great, great joy for me to introduce and welcome Walter Steenbock. My brother, welcome to the show.
BBK, thanks a lot, and thanks also to your listeners and people that support the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, man. In case you're wondering who this person is, I will give you a detailed breakdown of the man. So he's the head of scouting at Kaizer Chiefs, and this is the role that he assumed on November 2018, and that means he's the man tasked with improving the scouting network at Amakhosi, and that also means he is influencing the recruitment policy. Well, he's also been at Mamelodi Sundowns, where he was employed between June 2010 and August 2018, and he was a duration of like what, 8 years, 3 months, and also from the senior academy coach and head of youth development program, senior team opposition analyst and international scout to head of scouting department. This is the job that he did at the Mellow Yellow, a man of Mamelodi right in Kloerkop. And he's also performed roles of head of youth academy, senior team scout, as well as assistant in football manager's office. Is also the director at Fetty Sport Management, which is a sports consulting company, and it deals with the scouting, player and managers management, workshops, youth and professional coaching, as well as a sport marketing and design of sports educational material. Now, if that does not tell you that the man sitting across the table from me is not a paluga, then nothing else will. Bro, let's get straight to it. The name of your book, that's the reason you're here, because you've published a book, and the name of the book is The Football Scouting Bible. Why that name, and what motivated you to write the book?
Once again, BBK, thanks for this opportunity. I've been in the game for quite some time as a youth coach, as a scout, and also as an analyst. And
how long is quite some time?
Over 15 years, mm-hmm. over 15 years, mm-hmm. and as a SAFA instructor, and looking at what the game requires, yeah. You know, it only said to me that I need to make a big contribution, not only to South Africa, but to the African continent, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why this book. The name it's precisely because the Bible gives you guidelines, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that you can always consult, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So this is a football scouting, a Bible, but more like a consultation version, you know, when you want to get joy again about the game and the roads that you must take when you want to scout.
So give us a detailed take of what the book entails.
So in all, the book is about 11 chapters. Mm-hmm. And also what I've also done there, it's more of an academic writing, you know, because the idea again is to be able to have a little bit of joy to students in sports management, sports administration, sports science, and performance analysis, you know. So we start by dealing with who are the talent, real talent spotters, you know, because oftenly we overlook people like Abo Preza in the township.
Yes.
We tend to overlook parents, mm-hmm. the role they play in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we go a little bit deeper into checking the differences in the scouting between youth, amateur, and professional, you know. Then we go into tournament scouting, which is the area where most people do the scouting. And
yes.
then we check a little bit again the player monitoring mechanisms, how we code also,
mm-hmm.
and then also lastly the setup within a professional setup, you know.
Sure.
What kind of a setup you need.
Well then, I know the significance, I understand why it is supposed to happen, a scouting, but can you just expand, Walter, on why it is relevant? In other words, why do clubs require sound professional scouting?
It is very important because the scouting is like your HR,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you don't recruit the right players, you know, you are bound to have lots and lots of problems, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
And we could use an international example like Sevilla.
Yes.
You know, Sevilla between 2009 and 2019. When Monchi was there as a sporting director,
yes.
you know, yes, they had a fantastic a business model where they could get players who were much more cheaper and sell them at huge profits. So just that alone says that if you want to survive, you need to have a very solid scouting department.
Just tell us more about Monchi and Sevilla. What made theirs to be so fantastic as you are describing it?
The concept that we still need to introduce in South Africa is the one of a sporting director.
Mm-hmm.
So in Europe, and in teams like Man City, in teams like Juventus, you know, they employ what they call a sporting director. So somebody who oversees the whole protocol of football,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he decides who comes in, who comes out, you know, when, and what kind of quality comes in there, you know. So they can be able to balance the books. And Monchi has been exceptional. I mean,
yes.
recently now again returning from Roma, he has again managed to win the Europa League,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yes. Yeah. So he gets bargains, but he's got a fantastic network of scouts all over the world that really helps him.
Do you feel that teams in the Premier Soccer League of our country do have those fantastic scouting networks?
Not at all. Not
Why
at all.
Is that the case, and how must that be rectified?
I think what needs to happen a lot is more education and also acceptance of experts within the field.
Mm.
We haven't really done that, you know. Sometimes presidents and people who are in charge, you know, wants to meddle in the affairs of the technical people.
Mm.
Scouting is a component of coaching, but it's a standalone component. When you have people who are quite talented, you know, and who can do the job, you know, we should be able to see results. And we have seen results in other teams that I can't mention in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have solid scouting department, you know. We have managed to succeed in football.
Well, I can mention those teams in the country. One of them that you work for and you did successfully there is Mamelodi Sundowns. And I want to take you, Walter, to the example of one of the successful recruitments that you made. I'm going to take you back to a trip that you made to South America, to a particular country called Bolivia, where you had gone to see a particular player called Ali Meza that you wanted to bring to the fold at Sundowns. But something else happened while you were there.
Yeah.
Instead of coming back just with Ali, you called Coach Pito Mosimane to come see what you had seen. What did you see, and who is this person, and how did you end up bringing them back to South Africa? Talk
yeah.
to me about that.
Look, I've always emphasized that scouting is always a collective process, you know. In fact, the player that we all went to go watch, in fact, the coach had left earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there with Ezra Mnyandoro, the president of the club, had said we need to go in and also give another pair of eyes, you know, to help.
Mm.
So the player we were going to check there was Vargas, a striker.
Yes.
Playing for a team that side. And then unfortunately, you know, the three of us all said, and we said that no, the player that we think we must bring home, you know, is Gaston Sereno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that also shows the beauty of scouting when you really work within a collective, you know, that you can be able to bring quite quality to the club.
What is it that you saw in Sereno that made you change your mind as opposed to signing the guy that you had gone there to see?
Besides being technically superior, you know, and also being intelligent, you know, he's a match winner, you know, and for big clubs all over the world, whether in South Africa or in Europe, you know, a big match temperament is required, you know. So a player who can change the course of the game at any time, you know, and that's kind of a player is Gaston Sereno.
You are listening to Sports Live with PBK, and my guest here is Walter Steinbank, and is the man who is the head of scouting at Kaizer Chiefs, and we're talking the necessary presence that scouting needs to have in our game and why it is not really a factor that is being taken seriously in this country. Speaking of that, do we take it seriously?
I still feel a lot can be done. You know, mm-hmm. we still scout in small pockets, but we have not really invested the physical the capital,
mm-hmm.
and also the mental capital into scouting. So not much is really done. You know, I will just make a simple example. If you check Tigo Modise, Papi Zotwani, and Jimmy Tau, mm-hmm. you know, at one stage they were household names in South Africa, but they never played for under 17 and under 20 national team.
You can include Surprise Moriri in that list as well.
So this says that there are a lot of cracks within our scouting environment in South Africa, and that needs to improve if we are going to take the game to another level.
I mean, you're talking Surprise, you're talking Tiko. These are people who actually went and played for a national team for the very first time in their lives at Bafana, full international level. That says there's something drastically wrong in our system.
Exactly, and like I said, Jimmy Tau, you know, captain both Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs, and he has never played for any of the junior national team.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot is happening at that level in the youth ranks, and we need to sort that out as soon as possible.
How do we sort it out?
I think one of the things that have really killed us is age cheating, and also not having the proper people who can be able to profile players, you know. And again, not having a proper template that we normally use at that level to spot talent.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you realize that players who are coming from different provinces, you know, sometimes are not even seen in the professional ranks, you know, or they are seen a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eric Mulomwandao Matoa also had to travel over 350 kilometers to go to Bloemfontein Celtic, you know, to be able to play professional football, you know. So this says that players in Makwarela, in Bushbuckridge, in Umtata, in Kimberley, you know, need to have a platform, you know, a local and provincial platform where they can be spotted and then, of course, accelerated into the mainstream of football.
So when you talk about a club like your employers, for an example, Kaizer Chiefs, history will inform you that before it was born and the birth certificate said Kaizer Chiefs, there was an element of a Kaizer 11. A Kaizer 11 where Ubabu Mtaung then went around the country, and wherever they played, part and parcel of what they did was they were going to be able to recruit people who are going to come in and play in the team, and also establish that kind of network where whenever they went, there will be someone in Newcastle, for an example, saying, hey, there's that player, a player XYZ doing so amazingly. And there would be people all over the place. And part of that made Chiefs to be a team that sort of like was nationally representative, and the base of that was the fact that there was always that person going to the tiki box, calling the club, saying that come this side, come see this person, and they did that. If you fast forward to the professional ranks now, do you feel that there is a professional network in existence among the not even 16 PSL teams, like 32 teams including the National First Division, and the gap that is there in terms of knowledge refinement, in terms of spotting this talent with an educated eye, is it something that is closing, or it is something that there's no movement at all, or is it something that you see maybe slight improvement?
I'll say slight improvement, because every team has its own model, and also its own the way they want to do things, mm-hmm. you know. But mm-hmm. that's why in chapter 7 BBK,
yes,
you know, I propose a provincial a coding process,
yes,
you know, where scouts in different provinces, you know, could mm-hmm. be able to give you information about players, you know, and also how do we record that, you know. You'll also realize that we could actually even use the My Safa card, you know, in Safa, to be able to state the date of the player, his position, you know, and also his age, is he left footed, whatever there. So we still have a long way to go, you know. There's slight improvement, I will say that, because other clubs are doing that at a small scale, you know. But again, it's not quite coordinated, you know, and it's done on an ad hoc basis, mm-hmm, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for us to be able to move further and be able to deliver better, you know, we should be able to have those kind of networks all over the country. I'll just make an example that,
yes, please,
if in the last 4 years, mm. you know, Coach Thabo Senong's team mm. managed to qualify for two World Cups,
yes,
you know, at under 20 level, mm-hmm. you know, and I think now we have won three consecutive COSAFA under 20,
yes,
you know, with players like Promise Mkuma, with players like Sefama, you know. What it says that,
and both of those have been promoted to the first teams of their respective clubs, Sundowns and Chiefs.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So this says that there's talent. Talent is there, mm. you know, but we need to put a little bit of an effort in a coordinated manner, and again, take scouting as a course that people could actually be able to take in order for them to be accredited and then be able to deliver players.
Walter Steenbock is the guest here on Spotlight with PBK, and we're looking at the Football Bible, Football Scouting Bible, a book that he has penned himself. And in the preamble, he talks about the Football Scouting Bible is the beginning of a long dialogue, interrogation, and a robust critical discussion book that seeks to elicit the bright minds in our country and the rest of the African continent to think differently about sports scouting and carefully engaged to promote its respect and proper unfolding in football. How does scouting, Walter, inform a football nation's identity or culture?
I think I'll say scouting reveals the technical lifestyle. You know, it tells us what kind of a country is that one. You know, it's, you know, in Brazil, you know, they like samba. You know, they want to play with rhythm. You know, in South Africa, we like to play with style. Mm. You know, we like to play with swag. Mm. You know, and when it comes to over the weekend when we watch football, you know, we forget about everything else. We go to the fields to have entertainment and all of that. So scouting really informs that process. Mm. You know, it connects what the country wants. Mm. You know, so when you have a team that plays uncharacteristic, you know, and anti-tactical football, you know, it really hampers also on the mood of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, because our people want to find joy and all of that. So scouting, if it's done properly, is able to bring the right players to the club, you know, so that the people can identify with the club, you know, and be able to get joy, you know, and ultimately you can be able to get success.
Indeed, football is that one sport that gives us an escape from the so many problems that we have in the country. I mean, unemployment is rife. We've got serious situations with the bastards who are stealing money. People who are supposed to be serving the South Africans, but indeed they see themselves as being having the South Africans to be their servants and stuff. So when we do get to the cauldrons, and unfortunately because of COVID-19, we can't congregate, you know, around the stadiums and all of that. But seeing that we are now on level one and still sporting events cannot have supporters, in due course, I think we will be able to go and pray at our cathedrals that are the stadiums around the country. Now, I'm not talking to a man here who's trying to come in and boost himself. I'm talking here to a man whose licenses and certificates include the CAF A license. This is issued by the Confederation of African Football, and he's a holder of a SAFA instructor's course. He's done the SAFA pro coaching license, he's done the SAFA youth license, and with cum laude there, as well as the SAFA level 1 and level 2, and also doing excellent in doing that. So what informs a coach going for a specific player? I think that that's the process that your club Kaizer Chiefs is going to go through now that the story that we broke last Sunday in the Sunday Times was confirmed officially by Kaizer Chiefs yesterday with the appointment of Kevin Hunt. So appointing a coach is just one element. He's coming and he's going to look at the squad that is there. He's going to look at the needs that he have. So let's say he's looking for a particular player in a particular position. What informs that scouting?
Again, BBK, and thanks for that question. You know, it's quite an important question. I think what we look at as scouts, you know, and I'll just be a little bit general here. Mm-hmm. It's the profiling. Mm-hmm. You know, lately now, and I'll just use an example of Liverpool.
Yes.
You know, if you check Liverpool,
now you're touching me in the good spaces. That's my team.
I'm glad I could do that in the morning. Yes. Now Liverpool has a very interesting model.
Yeah.
A model that says we've got players in the breakthrough. We got players in the development. Mm-hmm. We got players in the peak. Mm-hmm. We got players in the twilight.
Yes.
Now these four areas then informs the coach and the club to say, where do we need to reinforce?
Yeah.
You understand, in the breakthrough, you got players between 16 and 20.
Yes.
So we need to check how many players do we have in that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like when you go again into the development, normally it's age between 21 and 24.
Sure.
In the South African terms. So we need to check how many players are in that age group.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then you have players in your peak,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are between 25 and 29,
yeah.
you know, and then you've got players in the twilight who are between
29 all the way to 33.
All the way to, yeah. So Liverpool, if you check in the last two seasons,
mm-hmm.
had a lot of players in the peak section,
yes.
you know, and that's why you have seen the kind of recruitment that they're making now, you know. So it's important for us when we do our squad balance, you know, we check which areas to reinforce, you
mm-hmm.
know, but
mm-hmm.
all those elements that I've put up there will be able to inform us, you know. For example, do you have a goalkeeper who is in the breakthrough, and how many keepers are in the twilight,
yeah.
you know? So that's kind of balance that you need to check, because sometimes you want to have goalkeepers, one of them in the peak,
mm.
one of them in the twilight.
Mm.
If you have two of them in the twilight, then you got
there's a
problem.
Challenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the process that most clubs will undergo, and then from there there will be a decision made on to say what kind of a recruitment is needed, you know. Some clubs also sometimes they bring experience. You know, I'm not a big fan of experience, of signing a player who's 31 or 32.
Yes.
But sometimes there are reasons for doing that. I mm-hmm. mean, Juventus with Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
it was a different case altogether. It was more about sporting success, but also commercial success.
Yes.
So all these factors are looked into when you're making that kind of a decision.
Let me take you back to your example with the Liverpool. By the way, the guest is Walter Steenberg right here on Sports Live with PBK. And we're discussing his book, The Football Scouting Bible, Steenbok. The man is a wealth of knowledge. I want to go back to Liverpool, Walter. And yesterday, they made an announcement that they've made a signing. A signing that is born a Brazilian, but is lived in Spain, and he's worked and at Barcelona, and he left Barcelona to go and play at Bayern Munich, because I think the twin pairing of Xavi and Iniesta made him feel that it was going to take him a very long time to break into the team. And anyone who watches football would have seen what he's done for a club like Bayern Munich. He's gone to Liverpool now. He's 29 years old. Liverpool generally have gone for players around 25 and less.
Yes.
They have a very, as you pointed out, particular way of recruitment. And I think that their CEO has done marvelously for them in terms of making sure that they've worked in tandem with Jürgen Klopp, and they've gotten the right players to come in. I mean, you sell a Coutinho, and with all that money you reinvested back into the club, you get a Van Dijk and you get an Alisson, and the improvement that those two players make in terms of Liverpool trying to reclaim their glory and end a 30-year, you know, a parent spell in terms of winning the Premier League. What would you explain as the motivation for Liverpool for going for a player like Thiago Alcantara at age 29?
Two things, BBK. One, it's an area we'll talk about when we have time.
Mm-hmm.
It's an area of data analysis.
Yes.
You know, yes. Liverpool, I can't remember the guy who's the sporting director, but I think it's
Edwards.
Edwards, mm-hmm. Yes. Liverpool has a sophisticated performance analysis and data analysis department. You know, I'm fortunate also to be in the same class with the scouting operations manager for Liverpool. You mm-hmm. know, who is David Woodfine.
Yes.
You know, together at Varsity, we do our masters now in sport directorship. You
wonderful.
Know? So that's one area where they will have looked deeper. You know, into the contribution of Thiago, mm-hmm. you know, both in offense and also in defense, mm-hmm. you know, but also the kind of entry passes that he makes and all of that. And then the second point that I want to mention also is what I was just saying now, that to make the squad better, mm-hmm. you know, you need a player like that. You know, yes. he brings the experience. But again, you are just making the squad better. You know, so that's why I say sometimes you do find situations where teams will go for a 29-year-old or a 30-year-old just to make the squad better. You know, and I think Liverpool and Bayern are going to benefit from what Barcelona couldn't do, because
yes.
he's actually in his peak now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just saw the other match they played the other day against, I'm not sure against Norway, mm-hmm. you know, where again he was spraying the passes. So I think he has now come out of his shell, and he's one of the best players that you need. And I'm not sure. I think also is it Wijnaldum?
Yes, who might be leaving for Barcelona.
For Barcelona, yeah. So it's also an action and a foresight from Jürgen Klopp and also the technical team.
But then, if in the event of a genie not leaving, does that mean that you play Thiago at your pace at six and then allow for Gini to try and move a bit more offensively as an eight?
I
don't see necessarily it being a question of Gini must go in order for Thiago to come in. I can actually see them both in the same lineup.
You are right, BBK. If you check the example that Conte used at Juventus, mm-hmm. when he had Pirlo, mm-hmm. you know, I still believe that when you have Thiago, you've got an exceptional player who I always called is a deep-seated playmaker.
Sure.
You know, so he's deep-seated, but he can be able to be a playmaker. Mm-hmm. You know, often sometimes we think that a playmaker has to be much more advanced in the field, but he can still be deep-seated, you know, and be able to see the game better, mm-hmm. you know, and initiate the attacks from the back. So it's good what you are saying, that it won't really affect whether a Gini stays there or what, mm-hmm. but Thiago is a fantastic acquisition for them.
Just to finish up with this example, then you look at a player like Fabinho, also similar position and all of that, then does it mean that Klopp rejiggles his setup and how he stalls his team, in the sense that perhaps a Fabinho then drops back, far much back, even to a center back position, which is played a couple of times when there have been problems of injuries and suspensions? So it means that, as you know, how Liverpool lines up with a 4-3-3, this may have to change. This may have to change to a 4-2-3-1, depending on how he sees his opponents.
We often refer to such players as being multifunctional. You know, they're very versatile, and you're making a good point that. It gives Fabinho an opportunity again to play either at centre back or in the middle. But again, you'll also remember that he brings a different kind of approach to Thiago, you know. Yes. He can be physical, you know, or, and again, he can be able to lock the defense, ne, when the moment arrives. So that's an example that we should be able to take into our local setup, you mm-hmm. know, that when you scout players, you need to be able to scout players who are multifunctional, you know, who are versatile, and again, who could easily be able to adapt to different situations depending on the competition again, because, you know, when you play in Africa, yes. and when you play in the PSL, it's yes. a completely different terrain.
Most definitely. Let's talk player profiling mechanisms. Player profiling mechanisms including the key assessment of parameters, namely technical abilities, tactical abilities, transition moments, physical abilities, psychological abilities, social outlook, social media platform. Talk to me more about that.
You have read a paragraph before a BBK in the beginning where I was saying the book is provocative, and it also wants the bright minds of our country to start having a discussion on this topic. Yes. The normal profiling, you'll understand, profiling is what you're looking for in a player. Mm-hmm. So the old form of doing that has always been, you know, technical, you know, look at the skill,
yes.
physical, is he tall, is he quick, you know, and also psychosocial factors. But I've gone further now mm-hmm. to add social media there, mm-hmm. social media platform, because mm-hmm. that's very, very key. When you receive a player, for example, who comes from Italy or Zambia or whatever, you have to look at him holistically, you know, because some of the things that the players are up to, you need to understand that. Some players are on social media for a long time, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Mm. That affects sleeping and recovery also there.
Yes.
But again, how many followers does he have? You know, what is he doing with his followers? You know, so this is also an element that I'm adding into the normal and old form of profiling. I say, let's go deeper and let's see what kind of a player you bring in there. Because if I sign a player who has, 15 million followers, you know, I need to understand that this is a celebrity player.
Yeah.
You know, he might have endorsements. Mm. You know, he might have other commitments or others. So how do we manage this kind of a player? You know, so these are the factors that we don't have to take them for granted. I'll just make the last example on this matter.
Please do.
When Eden Hazard was about to sign for Norwich,
mm-hmm.
so he's Muslim, so in Norwich. When he went there and he had to sign, they found that there was a slight problem. The problem was that the mosque was like 40 kilometers away.
Yeah.
So that was a big factor
mm-hmm.
to say that on a Friday he needs to be at the mosque and the mosque is 40 kilometers away. So it really said to them, this might not be a signing, and that's where Chelsea managed to benefit. So it's important to have a holistic approach, you know, of understanding a player that you are bringing to your club.
Yeah.
I'm also going further to say even the nutritional assessment is very, very key. You know, Muslim players, they've got different preferences
diet,
in terms of diet and all of that. So you need to know, and you cook and all of that. When you travel, what kind of things that they're looking for. So it's quite important that you have to have a holistic approach to scouting.
Wonderful. This is a very rich, enlightening interview and conversation. So if I want to join this world of scouting, I want to make it a job of mine, what steps do you follow?
I think the basic route is to have a minimum coaching qualification, you know, like a SAFA introductory, but now I see they've got a KFC license,
yes.
you know, because you still need to get the basics and the language of football. But after that, BBK, I'm glad that you have mentioned this. CATSITA, which is the official body that deals with education and training in sports and entertainment, you mm-hmm. know, are on the process now of finalizing a sports scouting qualification, you
Wonderful.
Know, at NQF level 5, you know, so maybe next year or very soon we should be able to announce that there's a qualification now for people who can be scouts, you know. But again, there are many opportunities there. Many people who've got law degrees have seen an opportunity to be agents and managers and intermediaries, you know. But part of their job also is to scout, you know. So there's also a business component to scouting.
Yeah. My job here will not be done if I don't go back to yesterday. Naturena Village, Kevin Hunt announced P pictures, everything, confirming the story in the Sunday Times the previous Sunday. In a nutshell, tell us about your view of the appointment.
First of all, I need to officially welcome Coach Gavin Hunt, local South African, you know, with high pedigree, who has done well, you know, yes. And then also to congratulate him also on the appointment, and also to support the chairman. The chairman spoke yesterday that he's a coach who has won something wherever he comes from, you know. So a team like Kaizer Chiefs is a winning team with a winning culture, you know, and I hope Coach Gavin will be able to reignite the energy within the giant, you know, and also spark a little bit of fire, you know, in the belly
Breathe
of
life
the,
back into the sleeping giant.
Into the sleeping giant, and yes, and everybody else associated with the club, you know, we are all ready to support him, and we look forward to really working with him.
Any players ready, willing, and able to step up from the academy to join the first team, as we've seen things happening across the Chukske with Sundowns?
We have always produced players, but it is safe to say we need to give him an opportunity to assess the squad, and then from and take it from there, you know. But you have seen in the bubble, we had four players from the academy. We also had four players also at Mooka Swallows, you know, that managed to help the team to get promoted. So it will be a collective decision on what really happens, but the academy is always ready to deliver players, you know, to anyone who ascend the throne.
How many players have you got on loan? I'm sure there's a striker that came through very well at Mooka Swallows, helping them to come back to the Elite League, to the PSL. How many have you farmed out in terms of being on loan out there, and what is their future with the upcoming season? Are they all coming back home? Are you assessing them or drafting them into the squad, or are you saying to them, go away for another season?
The monitoring process is almost complete, and when time is allowing us, we'll be able to sit down and discuss. You know, we come from a funeral, you know.
We
had a big accident, so we had four players at Mooka Swallows.
At least you've got Hollard, so you have policies there. You can deal with that.
I hope it helps. Yeah. So we've got four players at Mooka Swallows, and like I say, we'll be waiting for the coach.
Yes.
You know, to have a sit down. You know, look at everything else. You know, have the performance analyst, have our data analysis a department, so that we can have a comprehensive approach to the whole situation. But again, the case matter also doesn't really do justice to us.
Sure.
You know? So God willing, we're hoping that we can, the decision could be overturned and we could be able to do some business.
When are you likely to find out about the outcome of that case?
With cases, it's really difficult. It can be in a week's time, whatever. But we're hoping before the league starts, you know, we should be able to know the fate, and and maybe positively, it's a good one for us.
Bra Walter, I've thoroughly engaged this engagement. Thank you very much for taking the time to come here and be our very first guest to be in studio physically. And I know that you've got engagements. You still have to go and take delivery of more books that are being delivered to you. I am very grateful to have this copy of myself. For myself that you've given me as a gift, and I will not let you leave the studio without putting your $1 million signature to it. And I want to wish your club all of the very best. I want to see things happening at your club in a manner where we can be able to say they are rising again, ikhosi livukile again, so that one day we will go back to a space where it will be a happy space of a strong Chiefs, a strong Sundowns, a strong Orlando Pirates, a strong SuperSport United. I want to see a situation where Cape Town City is going to be in the mix in terms of challenging as well, because if you have at least four or five teams that are really having a go at each other in a 30 match marathon season, you're really getting value for your money. I wish you luck and congratulations again for putting together this football scouting bible, and also it's got in Ekwane, right? It's got like a Spaniana wheel where you get your scouting notebook. So if you're interested in doing this kind of work, it shows you what you can do in terms of looking at player specific analysis and the summary that you can put there, and the space for you to do your summary and recommendations. So if you are interested in this kind of work, don't stay too far away from Walter Steenbock, who is the head of academy at Kaizer Chiefs. He's done excellent work previously at Mamelodi Sundowns, and he was indeed my guest right here on Sport Live with BBK. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot, BBK, and also I want to thank the team behind the project, and also to wish all the teams in the preseason all the best of luck, and also to our supporters to say that it has been a tough situation, but we are asking for a little bit of patience as we regroup and move further, you know. And also to say the book and the notebook is available on info@waltersteenbock.com. But again, if you consult or you follow our Twitter and our Facebook pages, you know, you should be able to get the information.
Feel free to mention those Twitter and Facebook pages.
Yeah, you know, Walter_ST, you mm-hmm. know, and also on Facebook, Walter Steenbock, you know, yes. And just to say, this is for South Africa and also for the African continent, you know, and we can never allow anybody else to narrate, you know, our narrative, you yes. know, so we have to take charge of this. And thanks to you again for the opportunity, and you're doing a good job, and may God bless you.
My brother, I'm so black that I cannot blush because I'm going to turn purple. Thank you very much for that. And I tell you one thing, your fans are going to be very patient with you because they voted overwhelmingly for Kevin Hunt. You've given them Kevin Hunt, and I'm sure that they are happy that you did not give them what Mku at Twitter calls an Algerian perfume merchant. Thank you.
Thanks.
We out. Yeah.